Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 35th episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. My co-pilot today came highly requested, and I practically had to peer pressure to get him on, but I'm so excited he agreed, and he's here. Everyone who's either in the Facebook group or in the forums will know who he is and will start cheering, I'm sure, as soon as I say his name. Hey, Ron, thank you for coming on.
Hello there.
I'm so glad that we could convince you to come on. So I know you think that, you know, you're going to be boring, but I know that you're not, because you thought that going plant-based was really easy. And that's actually why I wanted to have you on today, because usually when I do a podcast, a lot of my co-pilots are struggling or they have struggled, but you're the complete opposite. You just found it really easy to go plant-based. So maybe you could tell us how you found your way to a plant-based diet and sort of why you think it's been so easy for you.
Okay. Well, it started reading an ARP article. Older people understand what ARP is, about Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And that he had gone eating this way, and pretty much he made a few mistakes, but he recommended three books. I said, well, that's worthwhile reading. So I read the three books, and the first one was The China Study. And I'm very numbers-oriented and, you know, degree in math and that sort of thing, and that one really struck me. At, And so that pretty much convinced me that I read Esselstyn. I can never pronounce his name.
Esselstyn.
That's one of the advantages of being living this lifestyle kind of in solitary. You can invent your own way of pronouncing things.
That is a perk I never thought of before.
But, like, I can still call it Kinoa.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I read the three books that he recommended and was totally convinced. And following tradition, I waited until the following Monday. And this was probably on a Thursday, so I had pizza one last time. But I was convinced that it was really protein, animal protein, was deadly. And I really, really simplified a lot of things in my own mind. It's, you know, it's easier to work things that are simplified and stereotyped. That, you know, I sat there and I said, okay, you know, just as a general statement, the animal protein meat induces the cancers and a lot of these other things, and dairy enables them to grow. You know, that's a nice, simple way of looking at it. It's not totally true, but it's accurate enough for me. And so I've done everything I can to avoid one molecule of animal protein since then, including almost not getting my flu shot because it's made with eggs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. People often don't know that about the flu shot, that it's got like an egg extract in it.
So anyway, I did go ahead and do it, but I was very nervous about doing it because, you know, the phrase that I've always used in the back of my head is death by hamburger.
Death by hamburger.
That, I mean, it's hamburgers stands in for a lot of different things, but just completely avoided. And really haven't had any problem except for the what I call the cook's curse. I still do a lot of cooking for omnivores, grandkids, my wife, and their family. And so, you know, when you're cooking, I don't have any trouble eating the dishes. But if there's a small piece of cheese laying on the counter as a cook, you're supposed to pick it up and eat it.
Ah.
Now, I did that one time and immediately realized what I'd done and ran to the sink, spit it out, washed my mouth out.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. A lot of people wouldn't have, you know, spit it out. But that's actually, I had a similar thing where I was on a response where I saw something, I put it in my mouth. I'm like, wait, what? And I ran and spit it out as well. I thought I was a freak, but you make me feel good.
Well, what's funny is I've been doing this now for almost 2 years, and I've had the temptation several times where, you know, something's been laying there, you know, and I was fixing pancakes for grandkids this last weekend. And, you know, the best part is sometimes that little crispy pieces that don't leave the
skillet. Oh, yeah, that's the best part of a pancake, yeah.
And I went up and I stuck it in my mouth and I realized what it was, so I sauntered over to the sink so they wouldn't see me and spit it out and washed my mouth out.
So that's amazing. So you still cook food that is not plant-based for your loved ones.
Yep. And I don't really care for the smell of it.
Oh, that's what I was just going to ask you, if the smells bother you or anything like that.
Most of it, I'm okay. The only time the smells really, bad is sitting in the car when someone's eating a hamburger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I find beef is especially bothers me a lot, because like I'll go out to dinner. I won't even cook it, but I'll go out to dinner with friends and sometimes they'll order like a steak or a hamburger and it'll just waft in my direction and the smell's really unpleasant. Other times it doesn't bother me, but the only times it bothers me, it tends to either be chicken on a grill. Like if I'm at a cookout, I have to be really far away from the grill. Or like I said, sometimes when my friends order beef and the smell bothers me, and fried fish. My friend once ordered fried calamari and he's like, "You're giving me the stink eye." And I'm like, "It's only because it smells so bad." I felt terrible, but we were at a beach and I think the ocean breeze was blowing it in my face. And I was like, "Can we change seats?"
Yep.
But yeah, but that's amazing. I don't think I could cook it. I just don't even think I could touch it.
Well, I end up washing my hands 3 and 4 times during cooking every dish.
I bet, yeah.
That, someone said that you absorb through your skin about 60% of the salves and lotions and things you put on. So if you're putting on lotions that have animal product in it, you're getting some in. So I'd be careful there. So I'm afraid, if I get eggs on my hand, some of it's going to absorb through. So quickly, wash them off.
Yeah, I haven't said, I haven't researched that to see, but I bet I could see that, because that's one thing with, I have a dairy allergy, like an actual dairy allergy. And the way I actually figured it out was because every time I was using this one soap, I was getting really itchy and really rashy. But also if I use the soap or lotion made by this company, I would have the same sort of reactions I would have if I ingested dairy. And that's how I realized that it was goat's milk. And I never knew, because I was buying it at the farmer's market and I just thought like it was, oh, it's soap, it's lotion, it's handmade by this local person. It never occurred to me to ask, does this have dairy? But yep. Then when I was having all of these reactions, that's how I realized. I went back and I was like, is there dairy in this? And they actually told me no, because they thought I meant cow's milk. And I was like, there's no dairy of any kind. And finally, after like sitting there going through multiple questions, they're like, oh, well, there's goat's milk. And I'm like, that's dairy too. Because there's a lesson. And when you try your best, sometimes other people they didn't mean me any harm. They just didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, I don't have any allergies or anything to any of the animal protein. It's just a complete phobic aversion to it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny that you say that too, because that's something my parents went through. And like yourself, they transitioned later in life. I was, still in my 20s, but my parents were in their mid to late 60s. And it was so funny because their very first Thanksgiving, they had been plant-based for 10, maybe 11 months. And I was just certain they weren't going to make it. I was like, oh God, it's going to be bad. They're going to eat turkey. They're going to call me up and be like, I fell hard and I'm not plant-based anymore. But they actually were disgusted and grossed out by the turkey. Like they actually had to excuse themselves from the table because they didn't want to be rude. But it just bothered them so much. And I was like, wow, like what a change. Because they were the kind of people who took pride in like picking the turkey clean at the end of the night.
Well, I was fortunate there in that I was kind of disgusted by turkeys beforehand.
Oh.
So the turkey's never been a problem. And my wife is turned off on chicken because of the bird flu.
Oh.
It scares. So that helps. So.
Yeah, chicken's probably my least favorite meat when I was an omnivore. I thought it was so gross and sticky and nasty. So that's one thing I don't even think I could even go near it again. So I guess you lucked out with your wife having an aversion to it.
Yeah. She still has it every once in a while on something, but last night she had a barbecue chicken pizza.
Huh. And we've had a barbecue chickpea pizza on the Meal Clan, so you could have joined right in with the fun in your plant-based version.
Well, except that we have a home theater, and she was watching a movie with a grandchild, and so they called me and said, would you go to the wood-fired pizza place and buy two pizzas?
So what did you get for yourself?
Actually, I had already talked to them, so I knew that their dough was good.
Okay.
So I got a veggie pizza with no cheese of any kind and no oil.
And they made it for you with that request?
Yep.
That's awesome.
And I love the oven, or the wood-fired oven. And, it only takes like 2 minutes to cook them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I squirted it all, and this is my own favorite pronunciation, sriracha sauce.
Sriracha. I love it.
But because I found that really spices up a pizza. Of course, it spices up about anything.
I've never thought to put that on pizza, and I love it. So now I think I'm going to have to try that. That sounds really good.
It really worked well. I was very impressed with it. They had it in the store, in this pizza place, sitting on the counter next to the cheese and the peppers.
Huh.
Yeah, which made me think of it, and turns out a good idea.
Oh, I love it. So since your wife is an omnivore and you still are cooking meat and stuff for her, how are you making the meal plans work? Do you just do the individual plan, or do you add meat to it for her? Like, how does it work in your house?
Well, it works basically two separate meals. That a lot of times now she cooks for herself.
Okay.
Prepares her own meals, unless it's, something unique or special. But what I fix are three family plan a week.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me 12 meals. And like this week, I can sit there with the ones I selected and say, I'm really glad that she's an omnivore and doesn't want any of my food. She also has another version, and that is she doesn't like to have her foods mixed together.
Oh.
Which that eliminates a lot of, different things. So she does love a fresh salad, though.
Oh, so it's okay. The salad components can be all mixed together.
Well, a salad for her is romaine and celery.
Oh. Well, that's good. She's still eating vegetables. I was like that as a kid, actually. I would never let my foods touch. I just could not stand. I couldn't let them, cross mix, and now I'm like, put it all together, mix it together. But I can appreciate that aversion.
So, so many of our foods, they get their interest in everything because they're mixed together. It's the combination that gives them interest and excitement. So,
I guess you don't have you don't have to run the risk of her eating your food. Because that's some of the things I see other members say. They're like, my omnivore spouse or my omnivore kid ate my food. And on the one hand, I'm really glad that they ate that healthy plant-based meal. But on the other hand, oh man, I was really looking forward to eating that myself.
And she does ask me, she says, is it okay if I eat one of the sweet potatoes?
Oh, well, that's nice. So you're not just out of a sweet potato one day.
Well, you go in and you buy, you look, the plan says I need four sweet potatoes. You buy four and you go in there and there's only three left.
Mm-hmm. Not to make more. I love a good sweet potato. So one thing that I think everyone, I guess you'd always been pretty active, but there was this one thing you said in the group once that I think kind of put you on the map because everyone could resonate so much with it. And I know I did. And I actually quote you a lot of times when talking to other members. And what you said was, hello, my name is Ron. I am a compulsive overeater and have been for nearly 70 years or more. When I switched to a whole foods plant-based diet, my weight dropped beautifully for the first 40 pounds and then it just stayed there. I cut back a little and did a little management and it dribbled down for another 15 pounds. So amazing. You've lost 55 pounds at this point, which is amazing. But then you said you just stayed there and there's been this one exercise, just one very important exercise that you must do to lose weight. What is that exercise?
track. I have to write it down.
Write it down, yes. And I was like, oh my God, I totally know what he's saying. But tracking down everything you eat. And this comment ended up getting like 74 likes. Like, that's how many people like just really resonated with what you said. And I think you just really made us all so aware that it's so easy to eat so many more things and not think about it, forget it at the end of the day. And I noticed after you said that, I started like really writing down everything I ate, even if I was just tasting food as I was making it. And I realized my perception of what I thought I ate in a day compared to what I really ate, I was really underestimating.
Yep.
Like, I would just like, oh, my friend was eating an apple. Oh, do you want a bite? Sure, I'll take a bite of that apple. Or, oh, I was passing the bowl of fresh berries. Let me just grab a strawberry or two. And I wouldn't think anything of it because it was a fruit. Oh, it's so healthy. It doesn't matter. But it really, I mean, there were a lot of those little nibbles here and there during the day.
Especially if going from one part of the other part of the house, you pass through the kitchen.
Yep, same with me. I have to go through the kitchen to go downstairs. From like to the garage or to like the patio, mailbox, any of that. I have to pass through the kitchen to get to the laundry room. It's just, unless I'm going from the bathroom to the bedroom, I have to go through my kitchen.
And while you're in there, you might as well check and see if there's something good to eat.
Right, which I would do. I would, let me see. And a lot of times, like I got one of those fridges that has the water in it, thinking, oh, this is great. If I have ice and water on the outside of my fridge, I'm going to drink so much more. Do you know what I was doing? I would also, let me see what's in the fridge.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, going, I'm such a good girl. Look at me getting more water.
Yeah, there's obviously several reasons why you should eat. One is because you've really done well. And the other one is, if I've been unfair against, then I should eat.
Mm.
And it's also unfair that I can't eat anything I want to, so that's good justification to eat, right?
Yeah.
So I have to write it down.
And you also kind of pre-measure your snacks too, don't you?
Every morning I put 3 figs, because my fig container says 3 is 100 calories.
Okay.
I put 3 of them in a small container. And I have 3 speculoos cookies from Trader Joe's with my coffee in the morning.
And so you measure those out before you have your coffee?
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, I find that too with the snacks, is that if I have anything that comes out of a box like that where there's, you know, a bunch in there, I do the same thing. I portion out however many it says a serving is, or is 100 calories, because it's a nice round number. And then I put the box away, and then I go at the table, and like you, I sit with my coffee or my tea or whatever I'm having, and then have my little portion there in a bowl instead of like, because I'll just keep putting my hand in that box.
It's amazing how many you can get in one hand.
Yes, that too. A handful. I can really, really cram cookies into my hand if it were going to measure a handful.
I don't know how many boxes I went through. The vegan crackers from Trader Joe's, the small ones, about an inch across.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
They're 12 grain or something like that. And take those and dip them into Trader Joe's hummus. And gosh, that was just a wonderful delight, except Trader Joe's hummus is made with oil.
Yeah, it is. They do have one that's not, doesn't have oil, but all the other ones do. It's like, I think their eggplant dip or something doesn't have the oil.
So I've started making my own hummus using your recipes, except I leave out the tahini. And all of your recipes are so much fun to modify.
Oh, thank you. And I love that. Recipes are just suggestions you should modify. So why don't you tell us some of your modifications to the hummus?
Well, first, I'll have to go back. Some of the stuff, I cannot imagine what you went through to know that you need 1/4 teaspoon of this one spice. I
mean, Lots of trial and error.
Those I don't touch. The ones that say, you know, just a tiny bit of this, a tiny bit of that, I don't touch. But things like the hummus, this last batch I made, and I have a recommendation for everyone. When you make something, write it down.
Oh, that's
because
a good idea.
If you like it, you got to be able to replicate it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write it down last time, and what I had in it was a handful of sun-dried tomatoes. And I buy these jars of jalapenos, the slices.
Okay.
And I used about 1/4 cup of jalapeno slices. all chopped up with the sun, you know.
And the sun-dried tomatoes.
And then the rest of it was your regular recipe. And that was wonderful.
I never would have thought to put sun-dried tomatoes and jalapenos together. That sounds delicious.
But, I mean, I began using sun-dried tomatoes in a lot of stuff. I put it in my tofu scrambled this morning for breakfast.
Ooh, I bet that was really good.
But how do you measure your hot sauce when you put it on? I'll tell you how to measure mine. Then you can tell me how you do. Is I write my initial. So when I'm squirting it on the tofu, I make a great big R. That way it's the same every time.
Oh, I love it. I love that. I think you just changed my life. I really do. I think you just did. Because it's funny, because that's how I do my soy sauce. So when I make hummus, I cook my own chickpeas, and then I put the chickpeas in the food processor, and I take the Bragg's liquid aminos, and I do two circles around, like an O, basically, two circles around. But I would totally much prefer to do my own initials.
Yeah.
And I only do it with the hummus, but now that you say that about hot sauce, this could apply to every dish ever.
Yeah.
This is
amazing.
It
looks good.
And you thought you weren't going to have a helpful podcast. Changed my life. Oh, yummy. Yeah, my new way of making hummus, and it's so funny you say to write it down because I have done that. I have just like, a little of this, a little of that, and then I make it. I'm like, this is great, and I have no memory of what I did. I'm like, darn. I was like, this is where I wish I was on reality TV and there were cameras in my house recording everything so I could play back and know. Actually, I really don't want that because that's creepy, but...
It would have been fun to watch you wax or you polishing your floor.
Yeah, right? But it did. It took me like six more times of making it until I got it back. And I kept thinking like I was diluting my memory because every time I was like, no, this is not it. Maybe I'm not remembering it. But I finally got it back. But my thing now is I do the chickpeas with the Bragg's with a little teeny bit of Dijon, a little tiny bit of nutritional yeast. A whole lot of lemon, and then a whole lot of Mrs. Dash's salt-free Italian seasoning. And to me, it tastes like herbed cream cheese. My husband's like, no, it does not taste like herbed cream cheese. It tastes delicious, but it does not taste like herbed cream cheese. But whatever, it's been what I've been putting on, like, bagels and toast, or even just having as a little snack. It's been my new condiment. So yummy. But I'm going to try the sun-dried tomatoes and jalapenos now. And, Trader Joe's, I love it because their sun-dried tomatoes are cheap and they're in a bag and they're not in oil, which I can't even find them that way at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So mad props to Trader Joe's for the good sun-dried tomatoes. If they take them away, I'm going to send them hate emails.
What I hate is the figs are getting ready to run out of season, so then I have to go several months without figs.
So what will your snack be if you're not having your figs?
I'll complain and grumble.
That'll be your snack. You were into the cuties, if I remember, though, weren't you? The little baby tangerines for a while?
Oh, yes. But they go out of style. Right now, they're kind of on the cusp of being gone. So, yeah, cuties are good.
That's probably my husband's favorite snack because he's always like... they're just small and he can put them in his bag because they don't need like a wrapper and you can peel them and they really aren't seedy. So it definitely can be helpful.
I like them when traveling because I can peel them with one hand while I'm driving and then eat them.
That's true. I didn't even think about that, but that would be really easy for like if you have to drive and you have to have a snack. That's a good one. And they do keep well too. Like, you know, you can just have them in the car next to you. They don't need to be in a cooler or anything like that. Oh, that's another good tip. Well, do you have any other great pearls of wisdom that you can share for people who are struggling or just finding it difficult to implement the plant-based diet? Do you think it was your just deep acceptance that animal foods were not healthy that gave you the strength to just never waver?
I think so. It's just, you know, I read it. I became convinced totally. I've quoted, you know, from the book several times. And, you know, if you read Forks Over Knives, I think, it's got the stuff in it talking about the effect on the environment. Those are side benefits.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was just all personal health. And probably the easiest way for me that I describe it to people is they say, you know, why are you doing this thing? And I tell them that I don't think I'm going to live any longer. But I, instead of just gradually petering out, I want to go full steam until I hit the wall and then straight down. So, you know, it's a total quality of life thing for me.
That's so interesting you said that, because I actually just got this email from my dad. He was at our family reunion and people were asking him that. They were like, why are you, you know, doing this? And my dad did have a heart attack. And so he is like somewhat motivated for his health in that respect. But his exact, you know, email to me was, while at the family reunion, someone said to me, when countering our plant-based diet, that when your time is up, it's up. And my response to that was, you are 100% correct. But what about the quality of life between now and then? I may die next year or whatever, but having felt the best I have in many, many years has afforded me a great quality of life. And that's basically what you're saying, is you're like, it's not about living longer, but just like living to the max until the end.
Yeah, I don't want to know what's coming even.
Yeah. Did you notice you obviously feel a lot better. Did you notice any other kind of health improvements?
Yeah. The funny thing is people ask me where I work.
What?
I'm 70. I retired from IBM 24 years ago.
Wow.
And people ask me where I work at. I volunteer every week at the Ronald McDonald House for 3 hours. And the director last week, I said something about my age, and she demanded to look at my driver's license.
Well, that is a compliment.
So I got carded.
You got carded. Yeah, well, it just says people think you're too young to be retired.
I think that, you know, I feel better. I look better. I can do exercises now. I'm now down to about 68 pounds.
Wow.
And I've got a few more to go that I want to do. The doctors at the Mayo Clinic said this is enough, but I don't have to listen to them.
Well, there's a range too. There's always like, you know, like a sliding scale of about 20 pounds that for your height or age is considered healthy. And I feel like as soon as you get to the end of that range, doctors are like, you're good. And it's but maybe for yourself, you want to go to the middle of the range or maybe even the bottom. That was for me. When I hit the top of my range, my doctor was like, you're good. And I was like, I physically still have fat and chafing and I'm uncomfortable. I think I'm going to go a little bit more.
Yep, that's the way. And plus the fact, right now I'm at 203. And I broke 200 in the eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
So it'd be nice to be under 200.
I weigh less than you did when you were in eighth grade.
So.
Well, you'll do it. I watched you this whole year. You've had a nice, steady decline. So
I'm at the point, you know, you've talked a lot about people not weighing themselves. And you're exactly right that when you put your pants on, the ones you wear all the time, you don't even have to have a special one. You know if they're getting tight, mm-hmm. and you know if they're getting looser.
That's true.
And that, I did check the scale. The reason I knew I was 203 was I checked the scales this weekend just because I wanted to know what it was before this phone conversation. But it happens
mm-hmm.
that you watch what you eat and you write it down. You know, you walk, do some, you know, exercises, and you get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the scale can definitely be useful, too. For example, I was just talking to Marla, and she hadn't been on the scale in a really long time, but she knew, like you said, she could tell from the way her clothes were fitting that she had clearly been losing weight. Like, she could see in the mirror that she looked better. She'd been getting compliments at work. She could see that her clothes that she wore all the time were a lot, you know, looser on her and fitting different, so she knew she'd lost, and she was just curious. And when she got on the scale, she was like shocked at how much she actually had lost. And I thought, you know, this was great because she was using it as just like another affirmation, like another tool, but it wasn't everything, because I see that happen all the time. Members get really obsessed with, I didn't lose a pound, not even 1 pound this week. I'm like, well, you might have, and you just can't tell because your water's off, or you're overhydrated or underhydrated. It just gets crazy. So it's fun to hear when people just use their clothes.
You know, people have to understand, you know, a pint of water is a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you had a glass of water, you know, there went a pound. So how can you, you know, you don't worry about the pounds except on the long-term average.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love that. Don't worry about the pounds, it's long-term average. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'll weigh myself in the morning. Like I did this a few times for members where I weigh myself every 3 hours and I gained like 5 pounds over the course of the whole day, which makes sense when you consider how much water I was drinking and all the food I was eating, you know.
Yeah.
Not a big surprise. I was eating like squashes and potatoes. I mean, think about how much that stuff weighs, and it's inside me now.
I used to laugh. There was 1 year, I think, that I lost almost 200 pounds, and I gained 205.
Oh, my goodness. You're too much, Ron. You're so funny.
But anyway, I found it easy. I don't get a lot of pressure from people. I am curious why people, and I've got this answer prepared if I ever get a chance to use it, you know, someone being somewhat negative, is that no one ever asked me why I quit smoking.
Oh.
And, you know, because they knew that was bad for your health. And so I'm saving that someday when someone asks me, you know, aggressively, you know, why I'm doing this, so I can ask them, you know, why didn't you say something like that when I quit smoking?
That's a really, I love that. That's so, wow.
That because in the end, this is just as, you know, eating the plant based is as good for you as quitting smoking.
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah, my parents were smokers as well, and no one ever said anything to them when they quit smoking. But when they went plant-based, there were questions.
Yeah, and that it doesn't make sense. What it is acceptance of the people and the government of what's healthy and what isn't. And smoking was defined as being health-related, and the other hasn't made it yet, but it will.
I do think it's going to come to a point where I just saw Plant Pure Nation last week, and in that they show about how Dr. Campbell's son went before the Kentucky legislature trying to get this resolution or bill or something passed, and, you know, it got voted down because everybody, you know, had to get, you know, all of the other politicians are being funded by these animal agricultural businesses, and so they had to vote it down even though they personally agreed with it because, you know, who's going to reelect them. Anyway, but you could really tell that it's going, eventually, it's going to come to a head where there's just going to be so much information, so many independent organizations like, you know, the World Health Organization, and everyone just saying, listen, there's no, you can't keep denying it. It's just going to, I feel like, going to come to a head, and politicians are going to have to start, I don't know, being honest or voting differently or something, but it definitely seems like the government's going to eventually, this can't, the heads in the sand can't go on forever, I don't think.
Well, part of it isn't, it's not going to be health. It's going to be that in order to feed a population twice as big as we have now, we can't build with animals.
Exactly, yeah. Or it's going to be the environmental consequences, like something's happening with the environment worse than it is, or did absolutely. Yeah. I think I just read, maybe it was in the New York Times, that they said to continue to feed people the way we are now, we would need 5 planets.
Yep.
And I'm like, what? That's crazy. And we're growing still. And it's just, yeah, it's gonna, something's gonna happen. But yeah, you're right. Maybe it will be the food not being able to sustain the populations.
Right. So it'll change. Oh, a couple of things that did happen this last week that I found interesting was my wife. Do you watch basketball?
I do.
Do you know who Mark Gasol is?
The name is familiar, but I couldn't tell you the team or anything
like
that.
Okay, Powell, his brother, played for Los Angeles.
Okay, that's why I know.
And then he plays for the Grizzlies.
Okay.
And so she brought me one of the sporting magazines. She checks them out in the library. She's a tremendous basketball fan. And she brought it in to me this morning and said, here, you'll find this interesting. And it's like a 5-page article talking about this guy. And mostly it talked about the changes in his life from going plant-based.
Oh, I'm going to have to go find this article now.
It was an April issue of something. I don't even know the magazine. But anyway, that, talked about how his skill is better, how he's lost 50 pounds, he's a completely different person. And what he eats before the game and after the game, while the rest of them are eating ribs, he's having quinoa and veggies in the bus.
I love it.
And then we was watching a girls' game the other day, and she says, there's Carol Lawson. You're another little vegan. And she plays for, I don't know where she plays now, but the Washington Mystics. But anyway, I went to her website, and she's got a group called Laws of Good Health. And it's talking about whole plant eating. So there's a lot of us out there.
It's definitely, I think, getting more and more mainstream, too, especially in the athletic community, because I've definitely seen things in just, like, random sports magazines, like, looking at them at the dentist office or something, and seeing write-ups about various vegan, vegetarian, and plant-based athletes. So it definitely seems to be trendy. And then, of course, we just had the really big news where Scott Jurek, who's an ultra-marathoner, just beat the record for the Appalachian Trail. And, of course, he's vegan, longtime vegan. And so that was very exciting. But yeah, it definitely is getting more mainstream, certainly more than when I was a kid and I was a vegetarian and there was one veggie burger at the store. Now there's like 50.
Yeah, I don't know how Scott, because I know one time Scott was eating a pizza during one of his runs, but he was vegan at the time, but probably was a vegetarian pizza.
Yeah, it's probably like with Daya cheese or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, I have loved having you on the podcast, Ron. You've imparted so much wisdom. I think the hot sauce initial is forever going to stay forever and ever. That's changed my life.
Well, I've enjoyed doing it. I've considered it an honor to be asked. I'm glad someone wants to hear my opinion.
Oh, yes. Everyone wants your opinion. You are very popular with the members. Everybody just loves you. So.
Well, I love all of that. But this is a wonderful group. It's a great group to be. You should be proud of yourself. Your parents should be proud of you for what you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. That's so sweet.
You're helping changing the world. It's like the little boy throwing the starfish back, one starfish at a time.
I love that story. One at a time. I love that story. It's my favorite. All right. Well, I'll let you go so you can get back to your day. And thank you again for being on the podcast. For more information, the meal plans, and all of the fun stuff that Ron and I have been talking about, you can visit getmealplans.com. Did I cut you off, Ron? Did you have a last little tidbit for us?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye. And thanks again, Ron.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.